理课堂听 class.com。
Model Test 4.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once.After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Question 11.
Can you help me?I don't know where I am on this map, and I don't know where the new student orientation is.
I think it's in Richardson Hall. I'm heading that way now.
What will the man probably do? Question 12.
You know more and more about basketball, Jane. You even know what a bank shot is.
I can't help it. You watch nothing but basketball games, and this is the only television in this house.
What does the woman mean? Question 13.
I bought some skirts in the new department store. How about having a look at them?
Some skirts? It seems you brought all the skirts in the store.
What does the man mean? Question 14.
I got a job at a bakery.Can you imagine? I'm a professional baker now. What did you do?
Cool. I'll expect a big birthday cake tomorrow. I helped a slow learner with math, and it was boring, but I got a fat salary, so it was cool.
What can we know from the conversation?Question 15.
I just wanted to have a few words with you about your performance in class lately. Your last 3 scores have been very disappointing.
I know, I've gone down. I just haven't been studying as much as I ought to.
What is the probable relationship between them?Question 16. Excuse me, I bought this overcoat yesterday. Here is the receipt. As soon as I put it on, the sleeve fell off. And I've just noticed that the collar is coming off too.
Why don't you just sew them back on?
What can be inferred from the conversation?
Question 17.
I'm sorry to tell you that you needn't come next week. You know, sales of our company have been poor recently.
I've always worked hard. Would you be kind enough to give me a month's time so that I can find a new job?
What has happened to the man?Question 18.
Now, Miss Johnson, you saw the bank robber, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I saw him when he went into the bank and when he came out.
What happened to the bank?
Now you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1. Dr. Smith, I need to ask you about something in Chapter 12. Well, it talks about erosion and the deposit of sediment on the deep sea floor. But I'm confused, 'cause, well, for that to happen, there would have to be some kind of force down there moving the mud or sand or whatever, right? But I thought there weren't any waves or currents that deep in the ocean.
That's not exactly correct. It's true that deep down on the ocean floor, we won't have the same kind of currents we find in shallower parts. But we do find what we call turbidity currents. This wasn't in the book, but the term came up in class. Do you remember what it means?
Turbidity currents. Oh, yeah. Isn't that when sediment like sand or mud gets stirred up and mixes with water, and then this mixture flows through the water around it, right?
Good.
But I thought that only happened in rivers.
Well, yes, it does occur in rivers, but we will see turbidity currents deep in the oceans as well.
But how do they get started there?
Earthquakes mostly. When an earthquake occurs underwater, it throws up tremendous amounts of mud and sand that become suspended in a layer of water near the bottom of the ocean. This layer is so much denser and heavier than other ocean water that it flows right down the slopes of the ocean floor and gains more and more speed as it moves along. Then it's just like the winds blowing across the desert, picking up sand from one place and moving it along and finally dropping it somewhere else. Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What is the main topic of the discussion? Question 20. How did the turbidity currents differ from the water around it? Question 20. How is the turbidity current different from the water around it? Question 21. Why does the professor mention desert winds? Conversation 2.
Hi, Kevin. Your roommate told me that I could find you in the TV lounge. What are you doing here?
What does it look like I'm doing?
Well, it looks like you're watching television. But we have a linear algebra midterm tomorrow, so I thought you'd be studying for it, and maybe I can study with you.
Oh, well, I was just taking a break. The linear algebra stuff gives me a headache. If I work on it too long...
I know what you mean. I've been working on it for 3 hours already. I'm beginning to go cross-eyed. I've been theorising at the sample problems. I just don't get some of them.
But I can't believe you are coming to me. I mean, you do know what I got on the last test, don't you?
Yeah, I know. You told me. I just thought two heads might be better than one.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. But, you know... I wish I knew that person in our class who got 100 on the last test. She didn't miss a question. Was it Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, Elizabeth. She's a friend of mine. She'd be a big help right now. Why don't I give her a call?
What, at this hour? It's already 10:30. I don't want to impose on her.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But you know what? She owes me a big favour. Let's at least give her a call and see what she says. Maybe going over some of the problems with us would help her review the material.
It's worth a try.
Well, you've still got time. It sounds like that the bees are picky about who comes to their family reunion. Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 22. What are the speakers mainly discussing? Question 23. Why is the man watching television? Question 24. Why does the man wish to know Elizabeth? Question 25. Why doesn't the man want to call Elizabeth?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the centre.
Passage 1. There is an English saying, laughter is the best medicine. Until recently, few people took the saying seriously. Now, however, doctors have begun to look into laughter and the effects it has on the human body. They have found that laughter really can improve people's health. Tests were carried out to study the effects of laughter on the body. People watched funny films while doctors checked their heart, blood pressure, breathing and muscles. It was found that laughter has similar effects to physical exercise. It increases blood pressure, the heart beating and breathing. It also works several groups of muscles in the face, the stomach and even the feet. If laughter exercises the body, it must be beneficial. Other tests have shown that laughter appears to be able to reduce the effects of pain on the body. In one experiment, doctors produced pain in groups of students who listened to different radio programs. The group that tolerated the pain for the longest time was the group which listened to a funny program. The reason why laughter can reduce pain seems to be that it helps to produce a kind of chemical in the brain, which diminish both stress and pain. As a result of these discoveries, some doctors in the United States now hold laughter clinics, in which they help to improve their patients' condition by encouraging them to laugh. They have found that, even if their patients do not really feel like laughing, making them smile enough to produce beneficial effects similar to those caused by laughter.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What have the doctors found by checking people watching funny films? Question 27. Which group tolerated the pain for the longest time in the experiment? Question 28. What is the purpose of doctors holding laughter clinics? Passage 2. Today, air travel is far safer than driving a car on a busy motorway, but there is a danger that grows every year. From the moment an airplane takes off to the moment it lands, every moment is watched on radar screens. Air traffic controllers tell pilots exactly when to turn, when to climb, and when to come down. The air traffic controllers around a busy airport may handle 1,000 planes a day. Any plane that flies near the airport comes under the orders of the controllers there. Even a small mistake on their part could cause a disaster. Recently, such a disaster almost happened. Two large jets were flying towards the airport. One was carrying 69 passengers and had come from Toronto. The other was carrying 176 passengers from Chicago. An air traffic controller noticed on his radar screen that the two planes were too close to each other. He ordered one to turn to the right and to climb, but he made a mistake. He ordered the wrong plane to do this, so instead of turning away from the second plane, the first plane turned towards it. 15 seconds later, it flew directly in front of the second plane. They avoided each other by the smallest part of a second. The distance between them was less than that of a large swimming pool. This is an example of the danger that grows every year.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage that you have just heard. Question 29. Which factor can most seriously endanger planes according to this passage? Question 30. What happened to the two large jets? Question 31. Why were the two large jets specially mentioned?
Passage 3. We're going to start our discussion of poetry in Western Europe with the Iliad and the Odyssey. These two great poems stand out as great examples of the earliest European poems. They are believed to have been written sometime between 800 BC and 700 BC, partly because the poems refer to the social conditions of that time, conditions that have been validated by the findings by archaeologists. But just who was the poet who laid down these cornerstones of Western literature? Well, tradition ascribes them to a man named Homer, but we know virtually nothing about this Homer. In fact, some say that such a poet never existed at all, that neither the Iliad nor the Odyssey was written by a single poet, but rather each poem is composed of the writings of several people. This, anyway, is the view of a school of literary critics in the 18th century, known as the Annalists. The Annalists pointed to internal evidence, such as variations in the literary devices used in the poem, to argue that each work was in fact a collection of several poems by several Greek authors. Opposing the Annalists were a second group of scholars called the Unitarians. They insisted that the Iliad and the Odyssey could have been the work of a single poetic genius. To support their argument, they stressed, among other things, the consistency of the characters portrayed in the poetry. This wouldn't have been possible, they said, if they were written by many different poets. Now, how we look at the Homeric question today has been greatly influenced by someone named Milman Parry, an American scholar who first presented his ideas about Homer in the 1930s. So let's take a look at Parry's research and see how it affects what modern-day scholars think about Homer.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 32. What aspect of the Iliad and the Odyssey does the professor mainly discuss? Question 33. According to the professor, what is one of the claims made by the analysis? Question 34. According to the Unitarians, what is one type of evidence that a single poet could have written both the Iliad and the Odyssey? Question 35. What will the professor probably talk about next?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
Man is a land animal, but he is also closely tied to the sea. Throughout history, the sea has served the needs of man. The sea has provided man with food and a convenient way to travel to many parts of the world. Today, experts estimate that nearly two-thirds of the world's population lives within 80 kilometers of the sea coast. In the modern technological world, the sea offers many resources to help mankind survive. Resources on land are beginning to grow less. The sea, however, still offers hope to supply many of man's needs. The riches of the sea yet to be developed by man's technology are impressive. Oil and gas exploration has existed for nearly 30 years. Valuable amounts of minerals such as iron, nickel, and copper exist on the ocean floor, ready to be mined. Fish farming promises to be a good way to produce large quantities of food. The culture of fish and shellfish is an ancient skill practiced in the past mainly by Oriental peoples. Besides oil and gas, the sea may offer new sources of energy. Experts believe that the warm temperature of the ocean can be used in a way similar to that of the steam in a steamship. Ocean currents and waves offer possible use as a source of hydroelectric power. Technology is enabling man to explore even deeper under the sea. New undersea technology is providing divers with diving suits and undersea chambers that are kept at sea level pressure. The development of strong new materials has made this possible. Now the passage will be read again.
Man is a land animal, but he is also closely tied to the sea. Throughout history, the sea has served the needs of man. The sea has provided man with food and a convenient way to travel to many parts of the world. Today, experts estimate that nearly two-thirds of the world's population lives within 80 kilometers of the seacoast. In the modern technological world, the sea offers many resources to help mankind survive. Resources on land are beginning to grow less. The sea, however, still offers hope to supply many of man's needs. The riches of the sea yet to be developed by man's technology are impressive. Oil and gas exploration has existed for nearly 30 years. Valuable amounts of minerals such as iron, nickel, and copper exist on the ocean floor, ready to be mined. Fish farming promises to be a good way to produce large quantities of food. The culture of fish and shellfish is an ancient skill practiced in the past mainly by Oriental peoples. Besides oil and gas, the sea may offer new sources of energy. Experts believe that the warm temperature of the ocean can be used in a way similar to that of the steam in a steamship. Ocean currents and waves offer possible use as a source of hydroelectric power. Technology is enabling man to explore even deeper under the sea. New undersea technology is providing divers with diving suits and undersea chambers that are kept at sea level pressure. The development of strong, new materials has made this possible.
Now the passage will be read for a third time.
Man is a land animal, but he is also closely tied to the sea. Throughout history, the sea has served the needs of man. The sea has provided man with food and a convenient way to travel to many parts of the world. Today, experts estimate that nearly two-thirds of the world's population lives within 80 kilometers of the seacoast. In the modern technological world, the sea offers many resources to help mankind survive. Resources on land are beginning to grow less. The sea, however, still offers hope to supply many of man's needs. The riches of the sea yet to be developed by man's technology are impressive. Oil and gas exploration has existed for nearly 30 years. Valuable amounts of minerals such as iron, nickel, and copper exist on the ocean floor, ready to be mined. Fish farming promises to be a good way to produce large quantities of food. The culture of fish and shellfish is an ancient skill practiced in the past mainly by Oriental peoples. Besides oil and gas, the sea may offer new sources of energy. Experts believe that the warm temperature of the ocean can be used in a way similar to that of the steam in a steamship. Ocean currents and waves offer possible use as a source of hydroelectric power. Technology is enabling man to explore even deeper under the sea. New undersea technology is providing divers with diving suits and undersea chambers that are kept at sea level pressure. The development of strong new materials has made this possible.